Now we come to the gospel, which is Luke 7, 11 to 17, the story of the raising of the widow's son. Now, I could have done what I'm going to do now when I was treating of the widow there as Zaretha. A woman without a husband is already helpless in that culture. Any culture that's not highly developed in allowing occupation or employment for women means that a widow is without her family can have, take care of her, but she's a very vulnerable person. That's why it says, you know, this is religion, take care of the widow and the orphan, you see? And now, this is the only son of this mother. So that means now she's all alone. She might have some family around her somewhere, because in small towns in those days, people didn't go off to the big city much. And so it's not only the, as we'll notice when we get into it, he has mercy on the man, but he has mercy on the mother. She's now going to be a single woman, a widow, childless. Where is she going to get her food from? Now, she might have some relatives who would help her out, but in our very porous culture, we don't realize, I'm sure in other countries which are not as complex and in that sense developed, they might be humanly far ahead of us, but financially or industrially, they're not. So a woman, like in an African tribe, her husband dies, her only son dies, who's going to support her? Who lives in her house? Who can she talk to? It's a very difficult situation. And so that's what's being told us here, you see. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. I said that's why I wanted to create the background, you know, the loneliness of this woman with nobody, you know. If her brother lives in the town, he can help her. I mean, they'll help her, but nobody's bound to her in that same way as marriage or child. And so you'll notice this is a story like the story we already read about where Elijah raised the child. But this may not be a child, you see, because he's called in the text here a monogenes, or an only begotten. I thought there was another word there, but I don't see it now. Of course, when he's addressing him, he calls him Eneaniskos, which would mean young man, not a baby. All right, so the text. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man, Eneaniskos, who had died, was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. I tried to create, you know, anybody in the first century reading that would say, whew, how is that woman going to survive? You know, her, you know, this family around, family ties are much tighter in that part of the world than ours. But nevertheless, there's nobody like who belongs to her. See, a large crowd from the city was with her because they sympathized with her. And when the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her. Saw her moved with pity for her. And he said to her, do not weep. He stepped forward and touched the coffin. So the bearers halted. And he said, young man, I tell you, arise, get up. The dead man sat up and began to speak. See, he's a dead man, he's not a child. And Jesus gave him to his mother. fear seized them all, and we just saw a dead man rise. It depends on the culture. I think I've mentioned this before. A good friend of mine who's, I'm sure, with the Lord now, Father Rick Thomas. That happened to him several times in his life. He prayed over somebody dead, and they were restored to life. Why? Well, because God had mercy on that person and on the family, but also to show the world, this is how powerful I am. You have no sin I cannot forgive. I can forgive them all. Come to me. I know you're addicted to alcohol. If you come to me, I can cure you of that. You know, come to me. And so, see, the miracles are, in that sense, an audio-visual aid. So, young man, I say to you, I just want to make sure, Neoniske, he's a Neoniskos, a young man. He's not a baby. Young man, I tell you, arise. The dead man sat up and did the most human action we've got. He began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. That didn't happen to Mary. It took 3 days before God gave back her son to her. The dead man sat up. Fear seized them all. But they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people. This is a work of God through this man who just spoke to that dead man and he arose. The report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. But it would. You know, here comes this prophet from Nazareth with some of his friends, and he's walking by, and out comes the funeral procession, and he stops the whole thing, and he says to that boy, young man, I say to you, get up. And he got up and began to speak. Now, it says very noticeably here something very interesting. He was moved with pity, which is not a good word, but he was moved with mercy for her. He knows now what her life will be like. No husband, no son, no child, alone in this village. They'll help her out. But nobody in her house, nobody to talk to, no husband to embrace her, no son to talk things over with, nothing, and no means of support. That's a widow. And so that's why the text says he had mercy on her and gave her back her son. Which in a way is a prophecy. Huh? The Father has mercy on Our Lady and gives her back her son by raising him from the dead. And so, this is a beautiful story. There is certainly a story of God, of the Jesus' power. Just address it, you know, he does this with Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Huh? But here, it's just the power of his word. Young man, I say to you, get up. And he gets up. Power of the Lord's word. Now that, in a way, is the sub-theme of this collection of readings we have this week. You see, this first, the notion, starting in the very first reading, we've been looking at, I misplaced my sheet now, but I'll find it. Yes, you see, this is all about Elijah doing the same thing, right? Now she keeps calling him Ish Elohim, a man of God. He brought her down and gave her back to his mother, gave him back to his mother. See, your son is alive. Again, a widow, bereft, you see, nice enough to take in this strange holy man, give him a room upstairs, and to feed him, though she has nothing. But you remember that the story, she's out picking up a few sticks, and she's walking away, and he cries out, bring me something to eat. She says, you don't understand. I'm getting these sticks, build a little fire. I got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. I'm going to mix it, and my son and I are going to eat it, and that'll be our last meal. We'll just die of starvation. And Elijah says to her, thus says Adonai. You know, give him some, give me some, and you'll be taken care of. Remember that beautiful story? And so then she goes and does what he says, and neither the oil nor the flour ran out during the whole of the famine. And that's the prophecy. I mean, it's an action, but it's an action which foretells this action of Jesus. And this action of Jesus foretells that act by which he's going to raise all the dead. His own death and resurrection. And now he's Lord of the living and the dead. Come to judge the living and the dead, we say. So now he's going to be doing that. So we have in these readings today a real meditation on the way that human being, Jesus is not just a human being, but Elijah is, and so are the others. In other words, God can endow people with powers, abilities beyond what they have on their own natural energies. Prophecy, scripture, writing scripture, raising the dead, healing people, preaching in a language you don't know and having them understand it. You see, why all this? So that people will get to know God as Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be brought back to him. And that is the role of all the charisms. They're not a game, and they're not a show-off. They're to show the mercy of God. That's the basic reason for these charisms. Now, we'll be looking at them in the next couple of weeks, more detail, I think. But here we have this text. If you look behind this text, what do you see? God the Father saying to Jesus, young man, arise. And Jesus himself, the one who can raise the dead, is now raised himself from the dead to be the source of salvation for the whole world with this life pulsating through his body, divine life, now and until eternity. Amen. Mm-hmm.